Our thoughts are with the people currently affected by floods in various parts of the country. It's difficult to hear these news reports without being reminded of last year's natural disaster in Queensland.
A houseboat coming tearing down the river with a dinghy connected to it with two people in trying to get off it. And it's just been a pretty crazy night around Brisbane. It's been a bit of a taste of things to come.
This is Off Track on ABCRN. I'm Joel Werner. In January 2011, intensive rainfall over large areas of an already saturated state led to devastating floods in Queensland. 35 people died and more than 78% of the state was declared a natural disaster zone. In all, over 2.5 million people were affected. As the floodwaters roared down the Brisbane River and into Moreton Bay, they carried with them all types of pollutants. Sewerage, pesticides, heavy metals and hydrocarbons, to name but a few. This flood plume had an immediate impact on the marine ecosystem in the bay. But one year on, what's the state of play? Sarah Shands has this report.
Everyone's left except me. They reckon I'm a bit crazy, so I'm the crazy one.
So you're all out of milk, are you?
Yeah.
All out of anything other than long life milk?
Yeah, just one. That's it.
What do you think would have happened if it had got to those 21, 22 levels?
Well, I'd be swimming at my place, that's for sure.
It's not easy, but it'll probably get harder as the days go on.
The Prime Minister will announce the deployment of further assets to assist the search and rescue and recovery.
At least we're alive, that's all we care about.
This event that happened late morning, early afternoon on January the 10th, dumped in some cases in the upper catchments in the order of 230 millimetres in an hour. Now, I was actually up there. I live in the upper catchment at Murphy's Creek, and I was there when the rain came, and it was really quite incredible. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, you hear of downpours with tropical thunderstorms and things like that. Well, it went on and on and on and on. So it was a very significant amount of water.
It might be breaking our hearts at the moment, but it will not break our will. What we have out there on the front line are some of the best trained people in Australia, and they are going to protect these communities, and we are going to make sure that we keep everybody that we can as safe as humanly possible.
And when did you think, gee, this is really unusual?
When the water started to flow back up my roof and into the soffits in the house, and I live on top of the hill. So the water was coming out of the sky that heavily that none of the infrastructure that was there could take it. But even at that point in time, it was just, look, wow, that's an awful lot of rain, that's a lot of water. It wasn't until the wall of water came down the creek that, and we were sort of on the edge of the creek actually getting our neighbour's cattle out of what was already a swollen stream, when the real flood came through. So we saw it sort of firsthand.
That's Simon Warner from Murphy's Creek in southwestern Queensland. Simon is CEO of Southeast Queensland Catchments, the body responsible for the land and water management in the area. He witnessed the torrent of water that devastated the Lockyer Valley in January 2011. But the flood's effects were felt far beyond the valley. As the water moved down Brisbane River and into Moreton Bay, it took mud, silt and debris along with it. Trevor Hassard was on Moreton Island during the flood. I catch up with him on the island one year on to see how the bay's recovering.
I have a bit of a long history with Moreton Island. My parents bought some land on Moreton Island in 1967-ish, and I've been here ever since. It's a pretty tough life, as you can see.
So how did the flood affect you here on Moreton Island?
We basically had quite clean water in the bay, and then this great big brown hue, sort of like, you know, moved into the area. So you could put your hand inside the water and you couldn't see it, like, you know, 2 or 3 inches under the water. It was that bad. We have noticed some changes in the fish stocks. We have noticed changes in, sort of like, you know, seagrass beds. And all of the flora and fauna in Moreton Bay isn't quite the same. And I guess all of those things are still recovering. We lost a few dolphins that actually, sort of like, you know, didn't make it through the flood event.
I joined Sue Hassard on her boat to learn more about the flood damage in Moreton Bay. She manages the wildlife education program on Moreton Island and loves the dolphin population, in particular tangles, one of her favourites.
So the last night all the dolphins turned up to the feed was on the 15th of January. Then on the 16th, Tangles turned up by herself without her calf. So as soon as we saw that, we knew the calf had died because a mother dolphin would never leave its calf. The waters were that really murky, dirty, chocolate milkshake sort of a colour, and so there would have been zero visibility. So the young calf could have strayed away from her mum, could have been taken by a shark, could have got caught up in debris, fishing nets that were sort of floating underneath the water. So, yeah, really hard to know because nobody was there. Dolphins just don't seem to be there like they were prior to the actual floods. Because where our office is, you can always look out of the water and you're always seeing pods of dolphins go by. But, you know, we do these eco cruises and some days we struggle to find turtles and dolphins. So I think they actually had around about 23 dolphins wash up dead in Moreton Bay. But when a dolphin does die, you know, it will become part of the food chain and it won't necessarily wash up on the beach.
It's clear the floods in January 2011 damaged this fragile ecosystem. That's obvious to locals in the area. But how do the experts explain the impacts of the floods on Moreton Bay? Dr. James Udy is the Chief Scientist for Healthy Waterways Queensland.
Immediately for the first month, it was very, very turbid water. So it was really like if you got a handful of mud and put in a glass and mixed it up, it was what I called liquid mud. The flood impacted on water quality all the way over to Moreton Island. In fact, the dolphins actually left for a period of time.
Okay, so how did the next 8 to 12 months unfold?
The sediment and other mud in the water started to fall out slowly. We do know from a survey that was done in 1999, approximately 40% of the bottom of Moreton Bay was muddy, and that was the area near Bramble Bay, north of the Brisbane River, and a little bit into Deception Bay off the Redcliffe Peninsula. The rest of Moreton Bay was primarily sand, and that is very important because the sandy bottom leads to different organisms in the sand, different food chains, so different types of fish, as well as the water stays cleaner over a sandy bottom than it does over a muddy bottom. Now, in a survey that's been done since the flood, approximately 70% of the bay is covered by mud.
So what immediate impact does the wildlife feel when this mud settles after the turbidity is gone?
You can imagine yourself as a small invertebrate, say a small crustacean or prawn or something that lives in the sand and uses that as both their home and their feeding ground, their dining table. Basically, this layer of mud comes in over the top of you. It's almost like someone covering you in a piece of black plastic. It totally changes your habitat. It does have a rather catastrophic effect to those organisms that are used to living in well-oxygenated sand. You do get a shift in your base of your food chain.
Has there been any permanent damage done to Moreton Bay?
Yes, there's a lot more mud in Moreton Bay now than there was in the 60s. And I guess that mud does eventually move to areas where it doesn't get resuspended. But once it's there, it does take a long time to get rid of. It's only because we have the Eastern Bay, which is still in fairly good condition, and so that balanced out with the Western Bay that's sort of continuing to degrade, still gives us reasonably good fishing habitat and fishing grounds. But if the whole bay starts to get degraded in the similar way that the Western Bay is now, then I think you're going to start seeing those permanent degradations where the habitat just becomes not suitable for a lot of fish species.
Dr. James Udy rounding out that report from Sarah Shands. And later in the show, a different type of marine debris. But up next, free diving.